Today we're going to make music.
KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach, KX93.5.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying the listening audience that the opinions expressed on any public affairs show do not reflect those of KX93.5, its management, or the board of directors.
KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach, Laguna's only FM, KX93.5.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Scott Hayes, and we are the Friendship Show. In the studio, co-host Mark Miller. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. I know you have, top of the hour, some business to take care of, yes?
I do.
You want to lead us?
Should we do that?
Sure, let's get that. Yeah.
Like in prayer.
I'm sorry?
Lead us in prayer.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
There's a few things we have to take care of. First of all, did you know that we have a sponsor for our show?
I had heard, but why don't you explain what that means and who it is?
That means that someone has decided that they like the show so much,
right,
that they've chosen to be a sponsor.
And wow.
They join at this sort of elevated membership level, and they say, and I would like to make sure that money goes to support the friendship show.
That's great.
Yeah, every morning or every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock.
And this, I'm just curious, does this person want to be recognized at all?
No, they're anonymous.
Anonymous, even okay. I know. That's great.
So we're
sponsored
by Anonymous.
So to the anonymous person out there, thank you.
Yeah, isn't that great?
That's great.
So if anyone else wants to be a sponsor of Friendship Show, you can certainly do that. We need all the sponsors that we can get here. And you do that by going to the website, kx935.com. Click on sponsorship and see what things are available there. And if you want to sponsor Friendship Show, give them a call and say, hey, yeah, I'd like to be a part of that.
That sounds great.
The way that you can support every show here on KX935 is by becoming a member. So if you're listening to the radio station this morning for sure and you haven't become a member, please go to KX935.com, click on membership, and join up today. This is community-supported radio.
Excellent.
Okay, here's the other thing that we have to take care of. This party going on at Surf and Sand, right?
Yes.
Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so April 6th, the big party at Surf and Sand, Casino Night, this weekend only, and I was trying to find it written specifically because I don't want to do this wrong, but I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure, I'm positive. This weekend only, if you buy your tickets this weekend before Sunday at midnight, tickets are only $100 a piece.
Okay.
And you get $50 worth of gaming chips as part of purchasing your tickets this weekend before Sunday at midnight. So if you don't have your tickets to the big party at Surf and Sand yet, this is the weekend to buy them because they're $50 less and you get $50 in gaming chips when you get those.
And what's the date of the event?
April 6th.
April 6th, okay.
Is that a Saturday?
I'm sorry?
I don't know. That's a Saturday? Oh, I'm kidding. Our intern is telling me, yes, that's a Saturday.
Megan Jamerson, internship, working the board
on research,
this morning.
Yeah, on research.
On research.
April 6th is a Saturday. Awesome. Okay, here's the other little piece of business that I have is, I don't know if people are aware of this, but Laguna Auto Parts and Hardware, which is the store that's right kitty corner from us, they're going out of business.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, I don't know. Maybe going out of business isn't the way to put it, but they're closing their business. And the reason that they're closing the business is because the gentleman who ran that business for over 30 years suddenly passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And so his family, they don't know what to do with the hardware store because he ran it all of those years. So they're closing the doors on that store. So I would just encourage people to go down there and make that a successful closing for them. If they
Excellent.
Can.
How much time? I mean, weeks, a month? Do you have any sense of sort of how much?
I'm not sure. Okay. Someone sent me something.
But you're encouraging people to go down there.
I would go check it out.
Right.
I would go check it out and see if we can't send that star off with a big bang.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Any other business before I ask you a quick question?
No, go ahead, shoot.
I'm pretty sure that this Thursday night I'm heading downtown to see a performance of Love Letters starring Mark Miller and...
The vivacious and very talented Ava Burton.
Very nice. And I'm hearing that there are a few tickets still available, that they're being sort of gobbled up relatively quickly.
I'm telling you, we can't print them fast enough at this point.
Excellent.
To get those tickets out the door. It's very limited seating. I mean, if we seat 50 people, because it's a very intimate show, and so we want to keep it nice and close and all of those sorts of things.
Right.
So if we seat 50 people, we're probably got people shoulder to elbow in there. So there's not a whole lot of seats. So.
And the way to purchase the tickets?
Go to friendshipshelter.org.
Nice.
And click around there. I think there's a link right there that says, I want to go to that show this Thursday at 7 o'clock at BC Space, which I learned, the more I work with these people at BC Space, I learned just some incredible things about those guys. Like the guy who owns that gallery. Do you know that he and his partner are responsible for taking the largest photograph in the history of the world?
Let me see if I'm following you correctly. The largest photograph in the world.
Yeah.
Is it at their gallery, the largest photograph?
No, because do you know how long the largest
I don't. How big is the largest photograph in the world?
Five stories.
Wow. Where is it?
That's a pretty big photograph.
Do you know where
it's
located?
It's in storage currently. It's traveled around the world. And here's how they did it, because I just learned this the other day. They turned an airplane hangar on a military base into a camera. Did you ever do that experiment when you were a kid where, like, you poke a hole in a box and then you shine light in it and then you put, like, some photo gel on a piece of paper and then whatever comes in through that little hole creates a photograph.
Yes.
Okay, they did that, except instead of using a box, they used an airplane hangar.
Wow.
And the size of the image ended up being 5 stories.
That's very creative, isn't it?
Do
you want to mention their names? Or?
Well, Mark Chamberlain is who owns BC Space down there. And okay. I don't know who his art partner is. He's
okay.
involved with so many people.
You can that sounds great. We got a full house in the studio this morning. On the board is Megan Jamerson, a former student of mine, an intern here, helping us to produce these shows. Also, a Olympic, how do I want to say this exactly? You're trying out for the Olympic.
I would say Olympic hopeful.
Olympic so hopeful here. In pole vaulting. You have an Achilles heel sort of injury recently?
Yes, about 4 weeks ago. I tweaked it in a meet, so I'm coming back from that.
Nice. Yeah. And you're trying out for the trials how soon?
Oh, that'll be in another 3 years.
So oh, okay.
More recently, I'm focusing on the World Championships, which will be in Moscow this summer.
Wow. So, and you're traveling to Moscow?
Well, hopefully, if I make the team.
Good.
So I'll find out in June.
Well, we're going to come back and revisit that.
Thank you.
Also, you have a question, Mark?
I do. So yeah. Can I ask, like, what are you, realistically, what are your chances of making the world team?
I think I have a good chance. I'd say...
You do? Like, do you think you have a 50-50 chance?
I think I have a 50-50 chance.
Okay. I just want to go on record as saying, like, if you make, like, the national team and you go to the Olympics, I would like to be your manager.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Really?
Okay. We're going to get some endorsement deals for this girl.
I think she's already endorsed.
Aren't you? I have a pole sponsor, but I could use a little more help.
You do? Yeah. Who sponsors you?
A pole manufacturer. They're UCS Spirit.
Oh, yeah. No, we want, like, the cover of Wheaties or something like that.
Wheaties box would be
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, okay.
I don't even think do they still make Wheaties? I have no idea. That's
yes,
interesting.
They do.
Yes. Megan Jamerson, graduate of UCLA, by the way. You were on the track team over there. Also, in the studio, we have... Corey Sparkle of Sparkle Films, and of course his right or left hand man, however you want to decide to say that, Cyrus, which I think is a great name, Cyrus. Yeah, very nice. And then Faye Chapman on photography, who's shooting some pictures this morning for us. Very briefly, before we go to a musical break, I want to introduce briefly our next guest. He's an icon of the Orange County music scene for the last 20, 25 years. Blue. And his band, The Blue Machine, played nearly every venue up and down the Orange Coast, Margaritaville and Newport Beach, down here in Laguna Beach, the White House, the Coach House, ample amounts of weddings and bar mitzvahs. They were huge. They were popular. They performed 7 nights, 7 days a week. They were busy. And he's back. And he's got some interesting stories to share with us this morning, so you're going to want to stay tuned. So we're going to take a short break for music. We'll be back for Blue, Rabbi Blue, in just a moment.
Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby. Yes, when you're laughing. When you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby, and I hope.
Armstrong's When You're Smiling. Hey, in the studio today we have Rabbi Blue, formerly of the Blue Machine. Just to give you a quick background on Blue, he shared the stage with the likes of Lou Rawls, Buddy Rich, Dizzy Gillespie, excuse me, I'm lisping there, Lena Horne, Sam Jones, Chick Corea, Sarah Vaughan, The Wailers, and so many others. Good morning, Blue. How are you?
Good morning, Scott.
It's good to see you with your beautiful voice and your beautiful face, my friend.
Just to remind you, I am the most beautiful man in the world.
And I would agree with that.
Next to you and all the significant others out there in radio land. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Hey, Louis Armstrong, I'm a big fan of his music, Blue. I know that you do several of his tunes in your shows and in your performances. One of my favorites is always What a Wonderful World.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I'm wondering if you can sort of grace us this morning early with
I don't know if I got that kind of voice this morning, but I'll see if I got it for you. I see trees of green, red roses too, yeah. Oh, I see them bloom, yeah, for me and you. And I see to myself, ooh, yeah. What a mazel tov world. Kick him on, kick him on. Oh, yeah. I see skies of blue, yeah. Yeah. Clouds of white. It's a bright, blessed day. In a Laguna Beach sight. And I say to myself, ooh, what a mazel tov world. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, and I say to myself, shabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba, mazel tov world. Woke me up.
That woke us all up. Very beautiful. Rabbi Blue. Today, I'm going to go back a little bit in the history of the Blue Machine and all that, but I wanted to start with sort of where you're at today. And you're continuing to perform jazz, blues, what you call Yiddish jazz, right. Reggae, pop rock, whatever you want. You want to just kind of brief us where you're playing these days, so if anybody's interested coming down to see you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I perform every Monday and Thursday at Billy at the Beach in Newport Beach from 6:30 to 9:30. Come on down, bring your family and children and whoever, grandma, grandpas, and animals if you want to bring them too. Also, I play every Sunday for brunch in Santa Ana, a place called Chapter One from 12 to 4. And I play down in San Clemente, a place called The Wine Cellar. And if you ever want to check where I'm playing, just, you know, Google, go on the internet, rbjazzq.com, and that'll give you my schedule where I'm at.
rbjazzq.com. Very nice.
There you go.
Very nice. I guess my first question is to you, it's sort of an obscure question, but is it a wonderful world, Blue?
Well, it's a wonderful world in many aspects, and it can be a difficult world in many aspects, but you got to... You know, you got to go with the flow. You swing, you go up and down. That's what life is all about. So, yeah.
So let's kind of move back a little bit here. When you moved to San Bernardino, I think it was, when you were about how old?
Well, in the 1930s.
Stop. We're trying to guess his age.
Yeah,
earlier.
I'm trying to get this age. They don't believe I'm 87, but that's okay. I'll accept their. San Bernardino in the 50s. And, that's where I pretty much grew up.
Right.
There.
And we were talking earlier, you had 10 brothers or 7
brothers.
Yeah,
the 12 tribes of Israel, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I had 8 brothers and, you know, 4 sisters, so it was 12 of us.
Yeah, but I mean, really, you were raised sort of in an environment where there wasn't a lot of resources available to you, and you started working at a very early age to sort of help support your family?
Yeah, but before San Bernardino, living in Arizona, I picked cotton. So, you know, you learn making that transition coming here to California.
Wait, let me back up. You did what in Arizona?
Pick cotton.
Oh, no kidding.
Cotton.
I heard you.
Way back in the day.
But that's true.
That's true. Absolutely. Wow. Okay. Absolutely. So you, and when we moved to California, then, you know, you took that trade and you, you know, being poor and not a lot of resources, I learned how to just, you know, sweep parking lots and do little chores around the city and make money, make me a responsible child in that sense.
At a very early age.
Very early age.
So you were how old at this time when you
were? Like, oh, 7, 8, you know. We were very poor, you know, so.
And you had no exposure up to that point in music.
No exposure, no. No exposure. You know, I think back in the day, I don't know, who was it? James Brown out then and, you know, those guys doing their stuff. But, no, I wasn't interested in music at all.
Until, from what I read and what we discussed this morning, there was a music teacher in junior high school who kind of had a guitar sitting in his room. You want to share that story?
Well,
with
he, no, he had several guitars sitting in his room, and he was teaching students, whoever was interested. Mm-hmm. So I had a friend said, hey, Blue, let's go over to Mr. Stanford's room, and he has a lot of guitars. So he talked me into it, so I went over, and he was standing up, had one foot on the chair, and he was a kind of a jazz country picker. And I saw him play 8 chords. And at that moment that I saw him play 8 chords, it's like I had a photographic memory. So I picked up the guitar.
Good.
And I played these difficult chords like this. That sounds really intricate. Those are difficult jazz chords. And not only did I do it once, I did it twice for him. And that made him interested in me. And so that's where it all started right there.
You captured his attention with those 8 chords.
That's right.
I don't understand, though. How were you able to sort of play those 8 chords having never picked up a guitar before? Well, sort of a savant kind of
I think there's, you know, there's a special thing in each human being, you know, and sometimes we see something would trigger it at the right time at the right moment, and that was in me all the time. I just never knew it until I saw, you know, the source to where it could activate it out of me, and Mr. Stanford was that person. And when I saw him do that, and he took me on his wing for 3 long years, and that's where I went to play 17 instruments.
Wow.
After that, before I got out of high school. And, you know, I didn't know all that was in me. That was, like, crazy.
Were you able to pick up the other instruments just as quickly?
Oh, absolutely.
Piano?
Absolutely. Because when you learn how to play, when you learn how to play piano, you learn theory and improv. So the other instruments you already know through, you know, clefs and key signatures, you know, just left to work them out. And then they came very easy.
And so one of the themes I was hoping we could focus on this morning is sort of how music helps lift people's spirits, but also how music also helps people direct their lives, right? And music certainly had a major influence on the direction your young life took. From being in Arizona picking cotton to San Bernardino working the lawns to figuring out you have a talent, and you sort of developed that talent quickly, and by the age of 17, you were saying this morning, you actually went out and started what? Started performing?
Well, I knew there was something in me. You know, playing all those instruments and being interested in instruments than more than girls. It was kind of like okay back then, you know, and I... So I started making trips to Hollywood when I was 16 years old, RTBT bus, because I was a writer. I was all those things, you know. That was all that was in me. So seeing all the TV shows and being inspired by those things, I wanted to be like, you know, that's all. I want to be like Blood, Sweat, and Tears or somebody. I don't know.
Right.
Back in the day. And so I was making those trips to Hollywood. Well, I was trying to sell my music, and I ran across the Lou Rawls organization. And I just kept pursuing him. And one day I went into his office. I heard him talking. I heard his voice.
Ooh.
Yeah, you'll never find another love. No, it wasn't that song, but, you know, I heard that voice. So I said, you know what? If I ask for him, they probably won't let me see him. So I waited outside, right, the office door, and 5 minutes later he came walking out.
Wow. And?
I said, hey, Mr. Rawls, I'm Blue, and I have some songs for you.
Really?
If you're interested. He says, oh, you know, I didn't look like a guy that was a kid that was out, you know, to do harm.
Right.
he says, well, can you come back tomorrow? And I said, yeah. So I came back the next day, and that's where it all started. So he didn't show up. So they had a rehearsal in the Valley. And his manager said, can you come back the following day? Now, this started on a Monday, came back on Tuesday. He wasn't there. I came back on Wednesday to this rehearsal. I'm there at the rehearsal. They got all these musicians, and I'm an upright bass player, and they're looking for an upright bass player. And don't dawn on me that I could be that player. I'm there to sing some song. I'm, you know, giving my music. So his lawyer said, hey, what else do you do? I said, I play upright bass. And he says, well, heck, that's what we need right now. How old are you? I said, 17? Wow. Wait a minute, 17? Let's see, can he play these places? So that's where it started. So I joined this group on that day, Wednesday. We rehearsed Thursday, and Friday I was on an airplane to Hawaii.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
At the age of 17.
At the age of 17.
And then over the years, you played with these other sort of iconic musicians.
Oh, yeah, all the great ones, Dizzy Gillespie, Art Blakey, Chick Corea, Stanley Clark, all those. We played all the great jazz festivals around the country, you know, every year. Ella Fitzgerald. Oh, wonderful. And I was in the company, all these great artists, and, you know, and I couldn't even fathom, you know, that kind of presence of those people.
That's
because I was still in that young mental mind, you know what I mean? But now, after going through, you know, all the years, you really understand what kind of company I was in.
That's amazing, especially at such an early age.
Yeah, early age, absolutely.
And how many years did you actually end up performing with those sorts of iconic musicians?
About 7 years.
About seven
long years. I call it my school. I got my master's outside, the long way around. Well, being with the masters.
Well, the learning curve must have been amazing.
Oh, it was, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then after those 7 or 8 years, you started to perform with your own band?
No, I started. I worked for a couple of record companies as an A&R person.
No kidding?
Oh, yeah. As an A&R person. And then from there, I worked with the Gap Band. That was, most people don't even know that. But
Why don't you give us a little background, the Gap Band?
Gap Band. You dropped the bum on me.
Hey, I know the Gap Band.
You guys know that song.
Mark knows it.
I know the Gap Band.
How do you know the...
You know,
because I grew up in the '70s as the Gap Band, and now they didn't do. But I associate the Gap Band with Rubber Band Man, but they didn't do Rubber Band Man.
No,
they
blew. Burn Rubber on Me.
Did they?
Yeah, Charlene. They did a song called Burn.
Who
Rubber
recorded
on me.
The Rubber Band Man? Do you know? Was it the? It's not the Ohio Players, is it?
No, Rubber Band. It's not like a Billy Joel song or something.
No, it's like You Gone the Rubber Band Man.
Well, there's a first. Mark singing on air.
Yeah, I don't know who did. I really don't know who actually recorded that particular song.
Anyways, yeah, I know the Gap Band. Gap Band is big.
Yeah, okay, that's great, yeah. So you started performing with these bands, Blue.
Right, right. And then there was in the 80s, there was a group called Cats and Jammers. And I had a friend that introduced me to that band. And they were looking for a keyboard player, so I joined that band like in 86 or something like that, 1986. That's where it all started in Orange County.
Yeah, a little music in the background there. Jelani Diaz, by the way, Beautiful You. We'll come back to that. Thank you, Megan, for playing that.
I apologize.
No.
A little rusty.
All right, let's sort of catch people up to the Blue Machine, because I think most people will probably recognize you, your name, from the Blue Machine, because you guys were around for 20 years up and down the Orange Coast. I mean, really, you had quite a following, quite a fanatical following, if you want to call it that. You guys were booked, you packed them in, and from my impression, one of the big reasons you were so popular was because of your stage presence.
Yeah, well, like, along with the gift of all those instruments, you know, there was a gift of just being intermingling with people with that gift. Making them happy, feel good, and our slogan was "Kick Him On." Kick Him On. That was the slogan. And I said, "What does that mean? What does Kick Him On mean?" If you say "Kick Him On" to some of the people that remember the Blue Machine, they say, "Oh yeah, that's the Blue Machine band." That just means like mazel tov, excitement. You know, congratulations. You know, having a fun time, and that was our slogan. And we played, you know, a lot of these vineyards. We were the busiest band for about 5 years in Orange County. Played bar mitzvah, bat mitzvahs, all the Christmas parties and weddings, and it was phenomenal. We had a great crowd, great following, and we were booked all the time. And we just had a lot of energy. Positive energy.
And you were saying earlier that you spent a lot of time sort of engineering the music behind the Blue Machine. You want to talk a little bit about how you sort of made that happen? And then also, let's mention some of the band members, like Dr. Bombay.
Yeah, Dr. Bombay. Yeah, that's a famous name out there.
Right.
He's still Dr. Bombay is the one who's actually running the Blue Machine band today, because I sort of like semi-retired. I play with them every once in a while or private parties, but I kind of, you know, melted down to the more jazz subtle scene because I can't moonwalk or crump or do the James Brown like I used to, you know. I don't have those young feet, you know, like anymore. So, he's running the band. Then we had Frankie TD1, who was one of our percussionists, and Sharon Ice-T, the female vocal. And we had Man the Can Do, who was the drummer. And that was the full-on band in the beginning. Then we added later on Craigie G, who was a guitar player, and then another bass player. Oh, my goodness, I forgot his name. See, that's what happens when you get old.
That happens.
Yeah, it'll come to me. I'll tell you later on who he is.
Well, you engineered a lot of the music behind the band. You were the front man. You always ended up with sort of a cordless microphone, and you'd work that audience.
Right.
Like,
I did, because the audience was full of, especially at weddings, family. You know, the band was about family. It wasn't one type of music. You could bring grandma, grandpa, and, you know, aunties, and whole family to see the Blue Machine Band. And we play every type of music, and they were pleased to hear it. So you heard A Wonderful World. That's a beautiful song, and they just love that song. I think songs like that, with Nat King Cole, Unforgettables, gave us more of the, you know, the older crowd. They love that kind of music,
right.
Frank Sinatra. Then we did a lot of reggae, Bob Marley. Of course, we did all the Commodore stuff, you know, disco stuff, Lionel Richie, and, you know, then we had to get into the reggae rap and the Rastafari and stuff, you know what I mean? So we covered all music.
I vaguely remember that you would start, at least when I sort of, you know, became familiar with the Blue Machine, you sort of started in Margaritaville down in Newport during the afternoons, and then you'd sort of migrate down to South County in Laguna, and that night play at the White House.
Right.
You want to play a reggae, a blues?
Well, this was always a common song for everybody to relate to. One love, one heart, let's get together, feel alright, see the people jamming, one love, oh yeah, one heart, give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel alright, hey mom, let's get together and feel all right. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let the money pass with this kicky, kicky, kicky man remarks. There's one question I really love to ask you. Is there a place in Laguna, yeah, like the White House, remember, who has had lots of musical and the reggae night in the hood? We say, what about a one-on-one? Let's get together and feel all right. See the people jamming, one love, oh yeah, one. Give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel all right. Oh, let's get together and
whoa, very nice. We should mention that you were playing with such vigor at your age that one of the strings actually sort of popped on you.
It sure did, man.
Which is going to disappoint me, because I'm wondering now, Blue, do you have the opportunity to switch out that string if we take a musical break?
Yes, we do.
Well, let's take a musical break. Do we have something lined up, Megan, ready to go?
We do. What would you like to hear?
I bet it's Jelani Diaz.
I'm sorry?
I would say I'm assuming it's Jelani Diaz.
Let's play Jelani Diaz, Beautiful You, from the Shelter Me CD that we did for the Friendship Shelter. Thank you.
hair's too short and your thighs are too big. You're not tall enough, or will you ever have kids and get married? These are the things that you think. Well, you're depressed and you need a change. You buy a magazine to tell you who you should be. You're lonely, even in a crowded scene. Well, beautiful, you love, bless your soul. You still be beautiful even when you grow old. Sit down with me, let's have a cup of green tea. Beautifully you and I'm a beautifully me, yeah. Pressure building up in you to get some work done or maybe buy some shoes. Well, save your money, honey, I got something to say. Stuff don't matter, you look good anyway. Beautiful, you love, bless your soul. You still be beautiful even when you grow old. Sit down with me, let's have a cup of green tea. Beautifully you and I'm a beautifully me. Well, beautiful you, love, bless your soul. You still be beautiful even when you grow old. Sit down with me, let's have a cup of green tea. Beautifully you and I'm a beautifully me. Well,
let's go, I'll get something to eat.
Don't worry about your weight.
Close your eyes, enjoy the food.
It doesn't matter who's watching you.
Take off my high heels.
Run, dance, do what you feel.
Make up and down my hair.
Be beautiful without a care. Beautiful you. Beautiful without a care. Beautiful you.
Actually, we were going to segue to another song, but Blue, Rabbi Blue, just walked back in with a new string on his Ovation guitar, and so we're going to give him an opportunity to tune that up. That was Jelani Díaz, Beautiful You, from the Shelter Me CD, which we produced for Friendship Shelter here in Laguna Beach, an
awesome,
incredible organization that's celebrating its 25th anniversary.
25th anniversary all year.
Yeah.
All year.
That's great.
Can I just point out that our research team has been
diligently,
working very hard, and we have figured out that it was the Spinners Blue. The Spinners recorded Rubber Band Man.
Oh yeah, that's right. There you go.
Is he still on? That's all right. That's cool. So Blue, I noticed that you change the lyrics sometimes, maybe oftentimes, maybe more than you probably should when you're performing your songs, but you instill a certain, what do you want to call it, a Yiddish twist?
Well, Yiddish is, I put a little Yiddish twist in it because I'm a rabbi and that's from the Jewish culture, and it's a beautiful way to express music. And
There's a certain, go ahead, Blue.
There's a certain way to, that speaks to the soul. You know, music speaks to everyone differently. And, you know, whether you like blues or whether you like pop or rock or whatever, you know, some people respond more avid than other people. And so Yiddish speaks to the community that really feels that music.
So I want to talk a little bit about how you got there. We chatted a little earlier, and in, I'm guessing, the year 1999, 2000, you had what we'll term sort of an emotional breakdown.
Yeah.
And you went away for a little bit of period of time, and it was during that period of time that both your faith and music brought you to a new position in life.
Right. I equate it to like Moses. You know, Moses was raised by Pharaoh. Then one day he realized something was extremely wrong, and he had no power to change it. But psychologically, he had a breakdown, and he ended up defending something that he felt was right. And when he defended it, he knew that he had to escape because his life was in danger. And he went away for 40 years, and it was his calling, you know. And he went up to the burning bush and found out what he needed to do to go back to revive his sense of mind, sense of thinking, sense of purpose. And that's what happened to me. I had a psychological breakdown. It was devastating. It was a bombshell. And so that was a way that I call that the great Almighty would call my DNA, like, you know, activate my DNA to that time and period in life. And I did. I was called to the Torah as a rabbi, as a philosopher of the rabbi of the Torah, and to have understanding of the Torah, equivalent to the great sages, you know, who instituted their school of thought back in the days.
So you went away for about 2.5 years.
Two and a half years, get my mind back together, and it was wonderful to see me coming out of that, back to my senses, greater senses.
Good.
Greater senses, you know, character and all the other above. So.
How did music and or faith carry you through those 2.5 years?
Well, remembering music, you know, when people listen to music when you're in relationships, if it's a love song, this is my girl, that's my guy. Love's lyrics make people, like, you know, want to love each other more. But, you know, sometimes when you have a breakup or you go through life, lyrics become, you don't want to listen to lyrics a lot of times because they're hitting right into the core of your soul. And where you heard them before, the lyrics had a different meaning, but now the lyrics are different. So you don't want to hear those love songs or anymore like that. You know, you don't want to hear anything that's triggering your soul and your emotions. But for me, remembering my roots, where I came from, how I was brought up culturally, what I was denied and what I'm able to achieve, brought me to that place musically. I was able to remember the finer moments where I played those beautiful weddings and family was weddings. It's like, you know, one day the whole earth is going to have a wedding, you know, a wedding and a meaningful wedding that would never end. And bringing me back to that place, I could really appreciate the weddings, you know, that I had played in the past. So music, remembering all those smiling faces and how I made people happy. But now, making people happy in the sense now that I utter the things of my soul, which relate to a higher power now. And it makes people interested. Like, wow, like, who are you? Where'd you get that from? I want that, you know? And that's what I'm doing with my students. I have a lot of students that I teach. I'm passing on the spirit to them.
Nice.
You know, but you have to work for it. You know, it just doesn't come along.
No, it doesn't come easy either.
No, absolutely.
And I'm sorry, Mark.
I just want to ask this question.
Yeah, sure.
So, Blue, do you use your music in your spirituality and your religion? Or have you combined the two?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt, Mark. Yeah, I think I was in my old music before I became a rabbi. I think I was kind of like, not directly praising our Most High, but he was in me, but I just didn't know.
Don't you find that, though, absolutely exhilarating as an artist, Blue, when you find that way to use that talent for something more than entertainment, but as a way to truly reach people on a deep level?
Absolutely. And the thing about it is not that I do it for money. I do it because I love it. And I love what I do. I love the music, and I love making people smile. And, you know, a person could be on the dire's, you know, mindset when they come see Rabbi Blue. But after they hear me and the songs, because my soul was connected to their soul. And when I sing, it's like a big relief. It's like, oh, wow. I you know, we were mad when we got here, but we're happy. You remind us how love and, you know, those things are. And so that's very rewarding to me. to see that kind of response.
You know, Blue, and that's true, having seen you performed countless times, no matter what mood I was in when I went to that performance, as soon as I saw you on stage, as soon as I saw you do your thing, I was immediately gratified by that experience, you know. Do you want to play a song with a little Yiddish twist to it and give us a sense
of... Yeah, I'm trying to get this thing tuned up here.
Okay, while you're tuning.
So, see there?
We love hearing tuning over the radio station. Nothing better.
Yeah.
Makes it sound like there's something important going on.
Yeah, because when one string goes out, they all go out.
Right. So we're listening to Rabbi Blue, formerly of the Blue Machine, like you've never heard him before. He's back. He's back from 2.5 years of being away, and he's just as engaging as he's ever been. Here he is, if he's ready, Mr. Blue.
What's the proper response at the end of a Yiddish gospel?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Hey, Blue, I want to talk a little bit now about your giving back to the community. I know you're teaching the younger generation musicianship and songwriting, that sort of stuff. And I know also you're spending some time a couple of days a week visiting the prisons, the jails, and working with some of that. Can you kind of express and
Well, I'm a rabbi for the San Bernardino Sheriff Department.
Okay.
Been there for about 8 years.
Good for you.
And I make sure all the books and the requirements that are, you know, are given to those who are, you know, doing the feast and festivals there. I do counseling there, and a lot of, I go in and sing to them, inspire them, you know, and give them hope, and that's part of my task that I've been doing for the past 8 years. And I go in there when I advise them or teach. I always teach about family. You know, family is important. You know, we're all interacted, no matter if we're biologically or whatever, but we're all from the same mother and father. So I kind of bring up their culture, go back in history, you know, like I went back in history. Oh, the Great One took me back in history and showed me he was, his hand was on me no matter where I was. Now, when I found him, was I willing to, you know, take that step, move toward more shalom and peace, sound mind in my heart, that I could take this same spirit that I did with many weddings, you know, more empowered now, more with more gentility, more patience in the divine character, and show that amongst them without judgment or anything like that. And and it's been very, very lucrative.
Lucrative spiritually?
Spiritually, absolutely.
Explain this concept of giving back and how that spiritually can be so
lucrative.
Well,
it's wonderful when I go to, sometimes I go to court with some of these inmates. Sometimes I go where they're fighting their cases. I end up going there and all of a sudden, you know, compassion and mercy has been shown and they've seen it because we asked for it, we prayed for it, and it was given. And once it's given, that's wonderful. You know, but you have to stay connected, that you don't ever go back to that place, be more empowered, be more inspired. And so giving, and to see someone say, hey, Rabbi, I saw you over here in that institution. Oh, I saw you up north in that institution. Oh, I saw you over here. Oh, man, and you just changed my life. You, those words, you know, like, Kiliata, you're my, you know, that's so gratifying.
Very nice.
That's so gratifying.
And teaching. You're teaching now the younger generation. You were mentioning a few of your students have moved on to four-year universities.
You want to
talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I have a student that's at Berkeley College and University in Boston, majoring in music. I had her for almost 3 years teaching. And another student, Andrew Frary, out of Newport Beach. He's at UCLA. 3 years there, very astute, fine students. Very, you'll hear about them in the future. I just, you know, pray that they'll continue to be, you know, zealous for their art of music. You know what I mean? And mesmerize the world.
I got to believe you enjoy the process of teaching. Yes.
Oh, I have fun teaching.
Right.
I have fun teaching like we're doing today at the radio station. We're just having fun.
Yeah.
Students the same way. It's the same kind of atmosphere, you know. But, you know, it all comes down to them doing their homework.
Right.
That's important.
We had mentioned or we had talked outside earlier over breakfast that you had a synagogue at one time as well out in the San Bernardino County.
Yes, I had a synagogue for almost 7 years, actually. And it closed now because of the economy.
Right.
But, you know, I teach law. I teach the Torah law. And as an understanding that most people don't quite understand or they don't want to understand, because a lot of people consider God's law done away with, the Torah done away with. And so, you know, if when you consider those things done away with, it's hard to receive wisdom from God when you consider one portion of his work done away with. He will not give you wisdom in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But he's given me wisdom to really understand his Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so wonderful that I know that I have a time to come when all this is just going to come up and I'll be one of the, I guess, persons to really help move that forward.
And you instill that wisdom in your music. Do you want to play a little bit of something that sort of demonstrates your musicianship as well? You're a great singer. You're a great performer. How about a little something that demonstrates your musicianship?
My musicianship?
Your musicianship. Tough word.
Well, what can I play?
Whatever you'd like.
Whatever I like. Ooh.
Is that part of the song?
Oh, that's a part of the song. I just hate being out of tune.
And we're tuning again. We're listening to Rabbi Blue, formerly of the Blue Machine.
Was that Stairway to Heaven?
It was Stairway to Heaven, blues version.
I caught that. Not blues version. God's version as told through blue.
Mazel tov! Thank you. rabbi. Oh, adi, 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 oh, devil. I'm making up this song as we go. Cause Megan's in the house and she's smiling so, so. Oh, deep, dot, deep, I do that. Mark's on the board and he's putting it right down.
Amen.
We got, oh, Scott, we go way back to the year 1994, Margaritaville days. Oh, yeah, we were at the White House too. Oh, yeah. We played the Canary Trocadero way back in the day. We did Yabba Jabba Jim Doo Doo. Oh, hey, got the cameraman's on the show. Oh, Faye, Faye, Faye. Bay, bay, bay. Yeah, Laguna's in the hood. Cause Rabbi's here. The most beautiful man in the world. Next to your significant other. Woo, woo. Yeah, give me the mic. Let me get tight. Here we go. Woo, woo.
That's beautiful.
Woo. Kiki Mom.
Kiki Mom.
Kiki Mom. You're listening to Rabbi Blue, formerly of the Blue Machine, like you've never heard him before. He's back after being away for a few years, and he's better than ever, and he just brings the charisma to every performance. Blue, remind us again where you're playing next week in case somebody wants to come down and see you.
Well, I'm playing, I play every Sunday at Chapter 1 in Santa Ana from 12 to 4, and every Monday and Thursday night at Billy at the Beach in Newport Beach from 6:30 to 9:30. And on the 24th, Sunday the 24th, I'll be at the Cellar, Wine Cellar in San Clemente from 7 to 9:30. Come on down and have a lot of fun with the most beautiful man in the world next to your significant other.
Ah. Mazel tov. Rabbi Blue, thank you so much. Great show. Thank you. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. We are the Friendship Show. And Mark, is there anything we need to close out with work-wise?
No, I just want to say, I think this is like the first show that you really produced, isn't it?
Second. I did the Tony Tetro one.
Oh, that's
Art
right.
Forger.
Oh, that's
Don't
right.
Don't forget Tony.
Oh, my gosh. Those
By the
are
way,
the two best shows.
Yep. And just a reminder that Tony's performance, if you want to call it that, on the Treasure Detectives comes next Tuesday night on MSNBC. I probably got that station wrong, but it's called the Treasure Detectives, and he's got about a 5-10 minutes on there where he's going to talk about Art Forger.
We'll check out Tony. Awesome show this morning.
Thank you, Mark. And Megan, thank you for being on the board. To the Sparkle Film crew, to Faye Chapman, to Rabbi Blue, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on The Friendship Show. Megan, take it away. Somebody, Mark.
The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, I got a boy child coming. He's gonna be a son of a gun. He's gonna make pretty women jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what this all about. But you know I'm here. Everybody knows I'm here. Well, you know the hoochie-coochie man. Everybody knows I'm here. I got a black cat bone. I got a mojo too. I got the John the Conqueror. I'm gonna mess with you. I'm gonna make you girls lead me by my hand. Then the world I know the hoochie coochie man. But you know I'm here. Everybody knows. Everybody knows I'm here. on the 7 hours, on the 7 days, on the 7 months, the 7 doctors say he was born for good luck, and that you see.